So this morning, our real focus is going to be on the full service of Holy Communion. We're going to celebrate a service of word and table four, number four, and we're going to go through that whole service with Scripture, the creeds, the prayers, the confessions of faith, and all of those things leading up to a full communion. But before we do that, I want to have some short thoughts about a conversation with Paul, the Apostle Paul. And so I'm reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. Then we'll kind of highlight a few things. And the reason that I share this shows, in the end you will see, this shows what it means to be in community with believers, a fellowship of community, and then also in communion with God and how we share a table together. We see Paul and Silas experiencing a lot of hardship, but they never lose their faith. They stay committed to serving God. They stay humble. They stay faithful. And they stay obedient in the midst of being beaten and flogged and put in prison. And God still shows up, and he shows up in a big way. But God didn't show up to free them. God showed up to use them, and he uses them. And in the end, as a result of what they're experiencing, in the end, we see new disciples made for Christ, because Paul and Silas were willing to stay engaged in the process of making disciples despite their own hardships. So I invite you now to hear these words. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divinity and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I'll order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So sometimes we don't know what God's plan is in our lives. Sometimes we have a lot more, most of the time we don't know what God's plan is. And there's a lot of times we might be saying, "God, why is this happening? Why are these horrible things happening? Why is it so hard for me to be a Christian? Why is it so hard for me to be obedient?" But in the midst of all of it, we may realize that God has a different plan, or he has a bigger plan. So there are some things that are happening here in this particular scripture. So we see this girl who was a slave, who was filled with a demonic spirit, an evil spirit. And she has the misfortune of being a fortune teller. That she is practicing the art of fortune telling. And we know several places throughout the scripture speaks against that. And so she's doing that. And so she is following, and her owners are using that as a means to make money. So the owners are capitalizing on a demonic spirit to make money. Well, they've turned this girl loose to go with Paul and Silas and the others, and she's walking around basically mocking them, but telling who they are. Oh, these are the men of God who were promising salvation through Jesus Christ. They're slaves of the Most High God. And so she's not saying this in a flattering way. She's saying it in a way that is really negative. But so Paul, part of it is probably his human mortality. He was getting annoyed by the fact that she's always right there, almost like a dog that wants to bite at your ankles, but always right there just nipping and yapping and saying this. And this evil presence is there in this demon. And he finally turns and he says, I order you in the name of the Most High to get out, go away. And in that very hour, the spirit left. Well, so that made people mad because they had been making money off of this girl. And so they grab Paul and Silas and they take them before the courts. And you see the similarities here. We see the similarities of what happened with Jesus. When Jesus rocked the boat too much, then we see that he was brought into the courts and he was stripped and he was beaten and he was crucified on a cross. Being a disciple of Christ, you can expect no different. That there are those places where we will, and they were, ridiculed and punished and experienced some pain. So Paul and Silas were brought in. They were basically accused of rocking the boat. They're disturbing the peace. They're disturbing everybody around us. They're teaching us things that, oh no, we shouldn't be talking about or we shouldn't be doing because they're Jews and we're Romans and we're not supposed to listen. So we got slave and owner over here set up. Now we've got Jews and Romans set up, and so opposing on both of them. And then, of course, we got good and evil with God and then evil with the demon. The good with God and evil with the demon. So we see some conflicts that are being set up here. And so then the magistrates say, well, have their clothes taken off and beat them and do all of this. And when you're done, throw them in jail. And we can't afford, and keep in mind, it ain't been that long ago that Jesus rose from the grave. So we can't afford for that to happen again. So put them in the innermost part of the jail. Lock them down by their feet. Make sure they can't get out because we don't need another Jesus event on our hands, is basically what they're saying. So Paul and Silas were thrown into the jail, innermost part, feet locked. And what do? Well, let's think about the means of grace. The prayer that we prayed this morning about the means of grace. How do we experience God's grace? We pray. We study the Word. We do those things. And so that's what they were doing. In the midst of their trials, in the midst of their tribulations, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their incarceration, they were praying and they were singing. Well, they were still disturbing the peace by the Roman tradition because all the other prisoners were listening to them. And then, of course, we hear what happens, that about a particular time, there was an earthquake and all the doors were open. So our inclination to that point, if we are being held captive, Maybe we're being held captive to sin right now. I think we are. We are held captive to sin. But so the doors are flung open. And they've got a chance to run. They got a chance to get away from these people. They are free. But they stayed. So you might say, what in the world were Paul and Silas thinking? Because they've been stripped naked. They've been flogged. They've been put in prison. Nobody likes them. But they stayed there. They were captive. Now they are free. Proclaim the release of the captives. I think I've read that in the scripture. So they were captive and now they're free. But they stayed. And then the guard, after he regained his consciousness, if you will, after this earthquake and this loud boom and everything that's happened, he says, oh no, my boss told me to do these things. And I'm going to receive the same treatment that they did since I've let these prisoners get away. So I'm going to end my own life. He took a sword out and was preparing to take his own life. But Paul said, no, He said, we're all here. We are all here. None of the prisoners left. They stayed. Despite the fact that they were freed, they stayed. And then at that point, that was that moment that this guard realized that truly they were men of God. That they were truly disciples of Jesus Christ. And there was something to this Jesus thing. And you think back to Jesus on the cross, we think about the centurion who after everything happened, realized truly this was the Son of God after they crucified God. Now we've got a guard here that is saying, oh no, what have we done? These truly are men of God, disciples of Christ. And he calls them, so he has been their guard, he has been over them, and now he stands before them and he says, sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And then that's when Paul says to them, this is it. And it kind of goes along with our small group message this morning. Jesus said, I am the way. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So it was more than just him. It was him and his household. And as a result of that, this guard bound up their wounds, treated their wounds, took him to his house, had conversations, shared a table together. They shared a community together, a common table. And as a result, him and his entire family were baptized on that very night. New disciples were made for Jesus Christ because Paul and Silas chose not to run when their captivity was, when they were unchained. And so what I would say to you today is we read this, what do we do when we are unbound? We have been captive to sin throughout our lives. And when we accepted Jesus Christ, when we listened, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we were saved, us and our households, what did we do? When those gates were open that we could escape the death sentence of sin, when we could escape that, what did we do? Did we run away? Or did we turn and say, thank you, Lord, use me. Use me now that I might be your disciple, like Paul and Silas done. So they had been beat. They had been imprisoned. And they were likely going to be put to death. But they stayed because God had a purpose for them. And in the midst of their captivity, being released and unbound from their captivity, they chose to be present for God and say that we are here. We are all here. Believe in God, and you and your household will be saved. And as a result, new disciples were made. So for us, today when we celebrate Holy Communion, we're reminded of a body broken and a blood shed that we might be untied from our sin, unchained, that we might be released. We're reminded that the practice, the sacrament of Holy Communion is one of those ways that we experience God's grace, means of grace through prayer, through the study of Scripture, and through the celebration of a shared table, the Lord's Supper. So we expect to encounter Christ at this table as a reminder of the price He paid for us, and also as a reminder of that covenant that we made back to Him that we would serve, and that we have heard the command to love God and to love neighbor, and that we have heard the commission to go forth and make disciples, that all can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So imagine what it would have been like if Paul would have said, that doesn't apply to Romans because they're the ones that beat me up and the ones that put me in prison. Paul understood that because he stayed. And as a result, this Roman family was baptized and became followers of Christ. What will we do when our chains are broken? What do we do now that our chains have been broken? What do we do now that we have been released from the captivity of sin? How will we be that presence that others too can come to the truth and the way that is in Jesus Christ? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.